Greetings, salutations, and welcome to the Plains Talkers Podcast, a show by casuals for casuals. I'm your host, Will Benson, joined as always by my faithful companion, Aramis. Aramis, how are you, sir?
I am faithful, but I just got a whole lot more expensive.
You know what? That's just going to bring us right into it. Oh, untap, upkeep, and draw. So, yeah, we have got tons to go over tonight, guys. You know it's going to be an incredible... We knew it was going to be a big show. So before we do anything, however, I want to spend a few minutes and just remind you that this episode of the Plains Talkers Podcast and every episode of the Plains Talkers Podcast is sponsored by Kerwin's Game Store. Kerwin's Game Store is New York State's premier source for collectible card games, tabletop games, miniatures, comic books, retro video games, and toys. With their clean, open gaming areas available to everyone at no charge, and we hope very soon that they're back open, Kerwin's provides a fun and inviting atmosphere for new and experienced gamers alike. Now, they are doing curbside pickup, and they are doing shipping. So you can go to KGS Online, right?
KGSonline.com.
Yep, KGSonline.com, and you can find everything you need there. They also do have two brick-and-mortar stores, real stores. One's located in Catskill, New York, and the other's on the second floor of the Poughkeepsie Galleria in Poughkeepsie, New York. It really is the best place in gaming. So, again, don't forget about the website, kgsonline.com. And when you buy something there, if you go to checkout, put in the promo code PlainsTalkers2020. They're going to give you 5% off just for being a listener. So, again, we want to thank Kerwin's Game Store. And we also want to take a second to thank and recognize our Planeswalker patrons, our seven Planeswalker patrons. It's Anthony, Steve, Ian, Walter, George, Josh, and Zach. You guys are amazing. Look, we wouldn't be able to do the things we're doing to make the improvements to the show. You know, things like this handy-dandy little soundboard where I get to just push buttons now. You know, I thank you guys, really. We can't say enough good about you. They really do help us in a lot of ways. We still have to play George's deck for April, but we're going to be doing the drawing here shortly for June, I should say, or May. We have to play George's deck for May. We're in May, right? I have no idea where we are. I'm in quarantine.
All the days start to have been melting together for the last few weeks, so it's totally okay that you think it's still February, even though it's actually August.
I have no idea what year it is.
Wait, so, who are you? Where?
Yes. But really, guys, we're going to be drawing for the Play My Deck and Play Against the Host. So I want to remind you guys of something else. Aramis and I started a new, I guess it's a stream. It's not really another cast. Right?
It's a weekly stream.
It's a stream that we're going to be doing, focusing more on paper magic, not Arena, not MTGO, paper magic. This week, again, we're going to be doing Commander. We all have pre-con decks now because here's the thing. We've been playing with Alex and Steve, and they have more, or Anthony, not Alex, Anthony and Steve, they have more toys than we do.
Although, to be fair, I almost won last week. I was one turn away. Remember, you ended up killing me with the last little trick.
Wait, I almost did it. You're saying Atraxa won?
Atraxa did win, but didn't run away with it.
It did not run away with it. Well, and I borrowed it for a while. I'm sorry, those guys are way too good. We shouldn't really be playing with them anymore. But if you're any level of patron, you get first dibs. Now we're playing. The four of us are again playing this week. If you have a pre-con commander deck and you're one of our patrons, you have first dibs. Otherwise, feel free to also reach out to us, podcast@planestalkerspodcast.com. It's patron only. You really want to do it. Any level of patron can come alongside us and play with us. All you need is your phone. All right. So again, this week it's going to be paper commander, pre-con deck, podcast@planestalkerspodcast.com. You can find out more about what our Patreon can do at patreon.com/planestalkers. Any support does help us grow the show, and we're really thankful for you guys. But we also, man, we are pretty late into this. We had some technical difficulties earlier, but it's a little late. But listen, I didn't get a double or a triple this time.
Quadruple?
No, I don't think make a quadruple. Oh, my God.
I didn't think triple was a thing, and yet you just had one. And I was okay.
And I don't know how I'm going back, but I am. But this week, I'm just going to drink another Druthers All In. Oh, it's an invisible beer. So another Druthers All In IPA. I'm really just in the IPA mode, man.
Mm-hmm. Invasion Plane Shift Apocalypse. Got it. It's a great draft format.
It really is. And honey, I can't. Aramis, write down 11:30.
11:30.
Hold on, I gotta turn off my camera for a second. Jesus, Wendy. Go. Go. God. There's my wife walking to the bathroom.
There she goes. Saw it. Internet immortality.
She's in her bathrobe and everything. It's great.
Oh, God.
Wendy Benson is a saint, says Zach. Oh, no, Anthony, you didn't draw poorly last week. What happened last week is this. I'm a better player.
Oh. Shots fired.
So we do have that going on this week. So we'd love to have you guys come alongside us and play. I've untapped. So here's what we've got going on. During our upkeep, we like to tell you what's happening tonight. I think you're pretty aware of what's going to be our pretty much our top story tonight. It's, you know, it's pretty obvious. Oh.
And now, breaking news.
We're going to obviously be talking about the band Restricted. We're going to go from there into the State of Standard, talk about what was impacted, what decks we think probably could take over, how happy Nissa is right now to be probably the most broken card in Standard again. We're going to talk a little bit, and then we're going to talk a little bit about the second half of the BNR, which is the companion change mechanic, and that's going to be our combat, because I think Aramis and I are going to sit on other sides of that. I think if you're a control player, you feel one way. If you're a mid-range aggro player, you feel another. Then we're going to go into main two, and there's not a lot of arena news going on. I mean, there was the Open this last weekend, which, you know, I didn't read a lot of news on it. I mean, that's just it. It's something like that. There's not a lot of coverage, but it's cool. And then from there, you know, Core 21 rumors. We want to kind of go over that. Morrow put out a big thing today, and there are other rumors that are flying out there. So we got a pretty good packed show. We do have some emails from Walter and a few other people. So, let's just go ahead and dive right into it. So, let's go.
Main phase.
All right, main phase. Well, obviously, the biggest breaking news out there. The BNR came down today. We talked about it last week on the show because we were a day late, so we got to do it Tuesday, and we got to actually be one of the first ones out there. The BNR came down today, and Aramis, what happened?
Well, stuff got squished, a couple cards got banned, and they changed the rule regarding companions, and pretty significant.
Which we knew was going to happen. I said it was going to be more than just, you know, it was going to be more than just a ban announcement.
Yeah. Well, they mentioned that it was going to be something handling companion, and it's going to have ripple effects across every format. For the first time in, God, I'd say at least a decade or so, they actually changed the way an entire set of cards work.
Yeah.
It's been a long time since they did mass errata like this.
And, well, other than the legendary, like the legacy rule.
But with the legend rule, or the planeswalker rule.
Yeah, I should say the legendary rule.
Being able to have multiple planeswalkers that are the same type. So, like, back in the day, you couldn't have a Teferi Hero of Dominaria and a Teferi Time Raveler and play at the same time. Now you can. Which, you know, people who aren't control players are like, why, God, did you do that? Why do you hate me?
And that's exactly it. It was.
I think overall that was a good change. But anyway.
It was not. But moving on.
in Standard. And, well, actually, it's the same cards for Standard and Historic, really.
Yeah, which I'm a little surprised at. But
in Agent of Treachery is now banned in Standard and suspended in Historic.
Mm-hmm.
And Fires of Invention is now banned in Standard and suspended in Historic.
And that was when we talked about at the very end of our
talk. I didn't think they were
going to
they were going to hit that.
And it was. It was kind of for both of us. We were kind of like, maybe, but probably not, you know. No.
Yeah, I figured there were other parts of the deck that were more dangerous. And the Agent of Treachery was a no-brainer.
Yeah. I mean, I think everybody knew Agent of Treachery. I'm amazed at in the community how many people thought Teferi was going to get it.
Oh, people just hate that card.
Yes. And again, here's the thing, folks. Teferi is not going away until it rotates. There's just no way it's happening. So stop trying to make it happen. It's not going to happen. I'm not so sure how I feel about that. Obviously, Agent of Treachery was degenerate. We all knew that. And it's been degenerate for some time. I mean, any card with blue, you usually tried to squeeze it in because it was a fun little, like, screw you to your face.
The one defense to the card was that if it's played fairly, it's powerful, but not unbeatable.
Right.
The problem was the fact that these decks were cheating this thing into play so early.
Right. I mean, you're cheating it in two turns before you usually can.
Sometimes earlier than that.
Right. And I mean, it's one of those things to where, I don't know how to put it. It's Agent of Treachery is one of those cards that I think, and I actually talked about this on the Patreon cast, which will be up tomorrow. On the way home, I kind of talked about, you know, Mark Rosewater, and I got to be honest with you, I'm still kind of pissed. And the more I think about the thing you wrote last week about the whales and all that set me off. But then I started thinking about the power creep that we were seeing. You know, and I put an article up on the Facebook page this weekend, because I forget who it was that wrote it, but somebody wrote up a really good write up on the history of bannings in Standard, and you know how we had like 8 years of nothing, like they used to be like banning is the last resort, like they didn't want to ban in Standard, they really felt that Standard, you know, should not be bannable. Like it's bad. I think Mark Rosewater even said it's bad design if we're banning in Standard, you know, and now it's turned into the fix all. Ryan Normandin did it and he posted it on Flipside Gaming. So,
right. Yeah, and I read the article.
Our Facebook page, it's linked right there. And it's really funny to think about it. Like you read like, okay, yeah, they did Jace, the Mind Sculptor and Stoneforge Mystic at the same time.
Yeah.
And then it kind of went away and nothing happened. And that was done in like, what was that, January? Or it was done in like 2010.
Well, it kind of went away until Kaladesh block. And yeah, then it started coming around
things
a little bit.
Well, not just Kaladesh block. They nailed Emrakul. It was Kaladesh, January 2017. So yeah, Kaladesh was out because they nailed the Smuggler's Copter at the same time.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Feldar Guard. So in January 17, they're naming Emrakul, Smuggler, and Reflector. Then they're hitting Feldar Guardian and Aetherworks. And then, and so 2017 had three different bannings. 2018, we saw the one. We saw Attune with Aether, Rogue Refiner, Ramunap Ruins, and Rampaging Ferocidon, which
that was
Rampaging
a big ban.
Ferocidon didn't need it. I
remember that ban was huge.
That was a huge ban, and I think they could have got away with. I understand having to do Attune with Aether because energy was just crushing the meta. But, and then nothing for 2 years. Almost 2 years. January 2018 was the last time, and then October 2019, M20, Field of the Dead. November 2019, Oko, Once Upon a Time, Veil of Summer. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And technically, Hogak, it was out there.
Yeah, that's modern and stuff like that. But here's the thing that I noticed when I looked at the current banned list in Standard.
Mm-hmm.
The sets that are legal are Guild of Ravnica, Ravnica Allegiance, War of the Spark, Core 20, Thorn of Eldraine, Theros Beyond Death, and Ikoria, correct?
Right.
There's six cards that are banned. Three from Core 20,
and
three from Thorn of Eldraine. There's three core set cards banned. Core sets used to be where, you know, they throw a bunch of reprints. It's a beginner level set. Power level is, you know, medium-ish.
Last year when it
Core 20 did not feel like a core set.
Core 20 was not a core set. And to be quite honest, if I was going to say anything was a core set, Theros felt like a core set to me. I feel that Theros, it didn't really have that much of an impact. Sure, we played with the gods a little bit, and, you know, there was a Thassa deck running around, but Fires of Invention was still, like, the hot deck. Control was, Azorius Control was running the hot deck. It really, Theros was kind of
Theros had a bigger impact on the Eternal formats, I think.
Right, it did. And then Ikoria comes out, and Ikoria, again, nothing. They're not going to ban anything out of Ikoria right now. They're going
to
ban...
Well, they don't have to ban anything right now because they just changed how 10 cards work out of the set.
Yeah, that's just it. And it's not just that, but I mean, you know, the next card that might see a ban... The only thing I think that might be left out there that might see a ban is, well, it could be Nissa if the Wilderness Wreck decks use it. if the Team Erex used Nyssa, I could see them being like, Nyssa, there's no Team Erex, Wilderness Wreck, probably, because
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I'm just saying the only things that are out there right now. Here's the thing, and this article does kind of go through it. They're like, cheating mana is the problem. And it seems like Rosewater lately has been trying to find ways. He's cheating the game. Once Upon a Time and Fires of Invention and
Free Spells.
Wilderness Wreck. I mean, these are monstrously...
Well, Fires of Invention, if you have activated abilities, like normally Fires of Invention will double your mana.
Right.
If you have activated abilities, it could sometimes triple your mana. Or, you know, sometimes even a little bit more than that.
Cycling, it's ridiculous. It was letting you cycle things out. It was letting you get things out for free and still have mana to cycle.
Yeah.
I mean,
in the old deck, you know, the before, I think it was before Theros.
Yeah.
You know, the gimmick was you drop your fires, you drop a random four mana spell. Then next turn, it's, you know, it's Cavalier. You still have mana to activate like Kenrith and stuff. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly.
The problem, like you said, the problem has been free mana and casting spells earlier than you're normally supposed to. And spoiler alert, that's always been a problem. That's always very dangerous to do. I mean, all you have to do is look at Phyrexian mana.
Yeah. And that's been, I think that's going to be the problem. Like, so if there was any card left out right now that I think that's probably, and here's the thing with what he's talking about, and we'll talk about that in main two. The core 21 stuff. I mean, here's the thing. You know, if we have some of that stuff in there, Wreck becomes huge. Being able to untap at your end.
You were mentioning how core 20 felt really powerful and it was crazy, not a core set. Core 21 is basically like, oh, you think that was strong? Okay.
And that's just it. I'm kind of looking at this and I'm wondering if Mark Rosewater's just fracking lost it. Like, I think he's letting the power creep happen. Like, it's almost like somebody pulled him into a meeting and said, look, you know, we're not selling enough standard. You know, it's not impacting the eternal formats. So you need to have the new sets impact the eternal formats in some way because we don't want to do masters anymore. And now they're
going mission
masters.
Accomplished in that sense.
Right. So, and that's just it. So the only way to do that is, you know, he said it in an interview, is power creep. But if you go with power creep, like eventually, he's not even power creeping at this point. Power creep would be like a Tomb with Aether was a nice power creep, like a little something that came through, you know, Rampaging Ferocidon a little bit, you know, even Smuggler's Copter. Smuggler's Copter was a little power creep. Every deck was playing it, you know, but then, you know, now it's not power creep. It's like power bomb. Like everything is like Fires of Invention. You and I were talking about it when Throne came out. I'm like, this looks bad. I'm like, yeah. So you got two cards and or you can only play two spells a turn, but they're free and there's enough activated. So all your mana is available to do crazy janky stuff on end steps. And
I would say that, the one card that surprised me that wasn't on this list was Winota, especially for historic.
I agree. And that because probably might see something later.
Yeah, I think that's going to be next on the chopping block, to be honest with you. I think within the next few weeks or the next month or two before Core 21, probably before the core set comes out, I would not be surprised at all if they decided to either, I don't know if they would ban it in standard, but I could definitely see it being suspended in historic because I've watched some streams of people playing this card on historic. And you go basically, you go Shockland into Elf, then land into War Boss, then land into Winota. You attack with your token, your bird, or your token, your elf, and the, actually you wouldn't be able to attack with the elf, but you attack with the token and the War Boss, and you're flipping over two Angrath Marauders and attacking for 92 on turn four.
Right. They'll find a way. That's possible.
That card is sick. And then especially like you can, like in standard, you can grab Hakdos.
Right.
And given that thing haste and indestructible, when it's already going to have protection from just about everything, pretty scary. I don't know. I mean, like Winota is a dangerous card. And again, it's a card that lets you play things for free. And it's not like the cards that she gets go away at the end of the turn. They don't. And they're indestructible the turn they come in and they're already attacking. And oh my God, what am I going to do? Oh, wait, I'm dead.
Yeah. That's probable. I don't think you're wrong on that. And that's... I think Winota, when we talked about it, Winota was, we looked at it, we're like, that's a broken card. That's a powerful card.
It's sick.
Yeah. You're going to build, but you're saying that as a control player. I mean, but I mean, even look at things like, and again, we're going to talk about during combat with the mechanic, with the companion. The fact is, companions is a power creep that, it's again, it's like, did nobody check Mark Rosewater's work? I just, this is, you know, I'm not, go on.
I'm still not going to put all this on Rosewater's hands because he's part of a team.
Right.
Granted, he's the leader of that team, but he's still part of a team.
But it has to stop with him.
Not necessarily. He hands it off and he gets input from development also later on. And he was saying how he wished he would have had the chance to ask different questions to them while they were playtesting it. Now that he sees, it's 2020 hindsight, obviously, but now that he sees what companion's doing, he was saying, maybe I should have been asking different questions when they were playtesting the mechanic after we gave it to them. And I've said it before the last couple of weeks, and I still feel that way. I understand what Morrow and the design team were trying to do with companion.
Oh, so
they wanted to add a new wrinkle to the game, sort of change the way people look at building their decks, give them a new means of expression, because that's what deck building really is. It's personal expression,
right?
Unless you're just a filthy nut decker like me who has no personality. but the problem was is that they made it so that the restrictions weren't really restrictions, and they were so good that there's no reason that you should not be playing a companion in most decks. There's some decks where it just doesn't fit, but like mono red decks were abandoning Embercleave for Obosh. And now with this new change, the red decks just be like, shrug. All right, I guess I'm going back to Embercleave. No big deal. And we'll get into combat as far as, you know, what we think of the changes. But I think overall, It sucks that the change had to be made. If the hindsight had been able to be done in the past and they've been able to ask different questions, maybe companion would be working a little differently and we wouldn't be having this conversation right now.
Right.
But, you know, this is where we are.
I think, yeah. And I think companions, look, in a vacuum, okay, I can give it to you.
Good idea in a vacuum.
And not just that, but I mean, blaming Rosewater, or at least laying this at the feet of the design team, in a vacuum, I can say that. But we're talking about post a ban of three major cards. Now we've banned two more major cards that were warping not modern, not legacy. They were warping standard. Like, you have one job. Your job is to design cards that make that keep standard, because that's where your money's made. And to say nothing of Field of the Dead, so I'll put those four, so six major meta warping cards. You know, Fires of Invention has been the top deck now for months. You know, and yeah, I wasn't high on it. I played it in my Loris deck because I finally found a way that I enjoyed playing it. But every other time I tried to play, I'm like, you know, that I'd prefer to just be mono red and be really fast. You know, and that's just it. I mean, the decks, and let's, you know, we can pivot to that from the changes today in the state of standard. Okay, so this is our main one we always talk about. I mean, yeah, there's a bunch of decks that are going to be better decks now. You know, obviously mono red is going to probably go back to tier 1.5.
Yeah, mono red was doing cartwheels after this ban.
Yeah, this is mono red and control after the companion change. Because I think control, you know, that's just it. We'll talk about this in the combat, but I mean, the winners today was mono red and control all the way through. You know, ramp was a little happy too. It lost one of its toys. Bat ramp did, but I mean,
Reclamation's pretty happy too.
Yeah, Reclamation's incredibly happy. The fact is, though, I mean, the big decks right now are probably going to be Winota, obviously. I think mono red again is going to come up. I think they're going to pull Obosh back out. I think you're going to see Torbren become the new hotness again. And I think with this companion, I think Obosh will be in the deck, but I think people are just going to start adding four ofs of the companions.
I don't know. I don't know that Obosh would still be in the mono red deck. He doesn't really fit anymore. If you, and it, plus, if you're playing, well, never mind. You can't use him as a companion. But he, it, I think Torbren is a better play.
Well, Torbren's a four drop. Now, as opposed and, to I mean, a five. The change. No, he's a four drop.
Well, yeah. I said as opposed to a five. Yeah.
Well, no, as opposed to an eight. Like, if you, that's the problem. Like, the way the companion things have gone, again, I don't want to get in combat yet, but my issue with the companion thing is that, in essence, you've added three to every one of these four, five, or six drop commanders, because you do not want to do it at your second main phase, and then, you know, use your three mana, put it in your hand at your second main, and give your opponent a chance to untap with Thought Erasure, or any other way to interact with it. Like, that's just it. You've lost that. So, you know, Obosh can't come out until turn 9. And Mono Red, they're like, I don't want to be playing turn 9. I want you dead at turn 6. You know? So, I don't think... Yeah, I mean, so Mono Red's happy today. Control is happy today. Because the one problem they've had with companions is, you know, we can't interact with it. We can't interact with it. It's like... Okay, but you interact with literally almost everything else, including land destruction. So I don't know, but it's just, I think the number one deck, I think Winota is going to go, probably going to go number one again, or not again. I think Winota is going to take top spot, maybe Wreck. I think Clover comes. I think Clover comes back.
That's possible. Yeah, I could see the Clover decks maybe making a little bit of a resurgence. Obviously, it's we're not going to know until at least Thursday when the right. when the bans take effect on Arena and MTGO. I mean, they're in effect as of now in paper, so there's a little bit of a disconnect between the two metagames.
Right.
But I mean, yet again, we're talking about Standard being suddenly shifted and turned on its ear because they had to ban cards. But I will say this, and I've said this before: I would rather they print cards that they have to end up banning because they're too strong than people complain because the cards are too weak.
Totally.
Power creep is a problem, but I would rather they push that envelope a smidge too far and have to correct than be like, oh, geez, sorry. Because it's easier to correct power level being too high than it is too low.
Totally agree with you on that.
So.
Yeah, I cannot disagree with that at all, and I'm just wondering if I'm still recording. Huh.
So,
yeah. Oh, I think I did something here.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. With my new recording software. So, hold on. Let's just zoom in and see if it's actually still recording.
It's like a beta episode.
This is really like a beta episode. We're just putting the bugs out. So, yeah, it's not moving. It's like it stopped recording.
Uh-oh.
I don't know when it stopped recording.
That's not good.
Yeah. Well, I'll be using the Facebook audio tonight then, so it's gonna be what it is. So hi, Pam Perez is on screen. She's waving.
Yep, I wave back.
Oh. So, all right. So we're talking. Yeah, I think the number. We're not gonna know till Thursday. I mean, when's the next Pro Tour? When is the Pro Tour event?
Speaking of, I don't know when that is, but they did announce that they have canceled all paper events for the rest of the year.
Well, yeah, we knew that was coming, though. Thanks.
Yeah, but I mean, just, you know, there's always that hope that maybe towards the end of the year they'd be able to do something, but everything in paper is shut down.
Yeah.
So all the players' tours, if they're still going to happen, are going to be moved on to Arena. There's no GPs this year at all. What was that one called? I forget what the other one was called. It was another like Dream Hack event or whatever it was. That's also been canceled because, you know, COVID.
Well, yay, and now, I mean, some places, like especially cities, are a little bit like, you know, hey, it's not safe right now, you know.
Yeah, I heard of at least one LGS that was burned down.
Oh, jeepers.
So that's really unfortunate, but we're not going to get into
that. We're not going to get political tonight. So
that's well, and this one especially, because that is a super touchy subject.
Yeah, I'm not touching
that's,
that.
That's going to open a huge can of worms, and we're not going to go there tonight.
Except to say, I support everybody.
Yep, just everybody needs to stay safe. Regardless. Oh, yeah.
So I mean, for me, I definitely am. I'm on board with the chain. I'm on board with Agent being gone, and I mean, I was building that deck. I mean, I got my freaking triomes today for that deck.
Luka might still be a thing. I mean,
I think
you're just going to be
is still going to be a thing. I just
you're going to be digging for different things. Like you're going to dig for like Purphoros and Dracuseth instead,
right? Or what do you call it?
Yadaro or Endray's Forerunners.
Yeah. Well, if you're still playing Jeskai, you could dig for Dream Trawler and Lifelink, and there's enough powerful white cards to be, you know.
Yeah, but you can't forget about the green red fatties too.
No,
because there's a couple really nice ones that are in standard
right
now.
It might be a good Gruul. This might be a good Gruul.
Mm-hmm. Or Jund.
Jund. And then throw Reclamation in just for kicks. It's kind of like doing. Oh my god, it is like doing fires.
There's actually a deck that I saw that basically I can't find it. I have to see if I could find it later. But I saw the deck list and I kind of groaned to myself a little bit because I was like, oh God, this is like the worst of everything. It's a Yorian deck playing Luka, playing Wilderness Reclamation, Expansion Explosion, and the Nyx Bloom Ancient to make a literal shit ton of mana that untaps the end of your turn. Yeah. And it looked absurd. It looked absolutely absurd. I have to find that list because I want to try it out because it looks so obscenely powerful, but I can't find it. I got to see if I could find it.
And that's just it. Like, you know, and you know what? Let's just get right into it. Cause I want to talk about companions. We can burn that in. Let's go right there. Okay. Cause I do want to talk about this. Cause I think this is going to change things. I think the companion mechanic is done. I don't think anybody's going to play it. I think this whole ruling was stupid. The draw six, keep a card in your sideboard, play it as your seventh, I think was a much better buy for your deck restriction. And that's just it. The way that this was built was, yes, you get an eighth card, but you're restricted to your deck. We have to restrict your deck. They thought Yorian was never going to be used. Ah, who wants to play with 80 cards? Well, I'm okay with 80 cards if I can dig through my deck. You know, but I mean, why would you play Garuda as a companion and only have even numbered spells? Or why would you play with Obosh and only have odd number spells?
Why would you play Loris and only have things that are two or less?
Yeah, there's no I think that's what happened today is that by doing this and making it so that you have to pay. And here, in case you don't know, here's what happened is that companions now, instead of sitting in the sideboard and coming in, you just pay the mana cost to bring them in. They sit in your sideboard, and when you're ready, as is only when you can cast a sorcery, so only during your main one or main two, when the stack is empty, you can cast your companion. You can't cast it. You pay three colorless mana to bring it to your hand so that you can cast it. So, to me, that ends up killing companions, because now you've made them eight. Or six, or nine, or five. It's, well, not five, but eight. I think, what are we? The four is the lowest one, so there's seven.
Well, Loris is a three.
Loris is a three, so six. Because in a world where we have Agonizing Remorse and Thought Erasure and any number of, and the stupid Planeswalker there starts with an A. Shoot.
Ashiok?
Ashiok. And Ashiok. Where we have a thousand ways to remove stuff from your hand.
It's Davriel, by the way. Davriel.
Davriel what?
It's the one that makes you discard.
No, Ashiok, the new Ashiok does too. You can make them discard a card, return a card to your hand and discard one.
Oh, they exile. Yeah. They exile, yeah.
So, frankly, it's stupid. It's done. Nobody's going to play it. That's my combat. That's what I'm saying, is that nobody's going to play it anymore. This was a stupid rule change. They shouldn't have done it. They would have been far better off just, like I said, either doing that or saying, you know what, we're just not going to use the companions. They're just creatures. Obviously, we screwed up. This is a face-saving measure by Wizards, and that's it. And the only ones who won with this was Control, because now you guys get to take it out of our hands. Go ahead, Captain Control.
Well, first of all, you're wrong. And second of all, you're wrong.
Not Captain Control? I thought you were.
Well, this does significantly weaken certain companions.
It weakens all of them.
It doesn't make them cost six or eight, like you're saying. It you have to basically be able to spread out the cost over the course of a couple of turns.
It's still the cost of casting it. Whether you're doing it over two turns or six. If I have to pay, you know, I'm paying $20,000 for my car, and it's taking me 5 years, it still costs me $20,000. Like, you've raised the cost by three.
Mm-hmm.
So let me get this straight. I'm paying three more, and I'm still restricted? They should have said there's no deck restriction.
Then everybody would play every companion.
There'd be no reason not to. But anyway, one companion, but
you can play them all on your sideboard and then just pick and choose which one you start with.
No, you have to reveal it to be a companion.
Yeah, you pick which one at the beginning of the game. So, but you can play all of them. If there's no deck restriction, you could have all of them in your sideboard and say, well, I think right now it's going to be Karuga. Right. And the next game, Loras. If there's no deck restriction, then that's what you could do.
But that would be stupid because you'd only have five cards for your sideboard.
If it's a toolbox sideboard, whatever. Yeah. But anyway, yes, this does open them up to interaction with hand disruption, hand discard, things like that. But that was always one of the biggest problems with Companion, is that there was nothing you could do if you didn't have a counterspell to prevent them from coming into play.
Right.
But you had to have a counterspell.
But in return for that, I restricted my deck. And in return for that, you got information about my deck. You know that I only have two or less permanents of two or less in my hand, or I have only even numbered permanents, or I only have you. It's an information, and that's just it. Control needs information. They love information. So what they're doing now is you're giving the control player information about your deck. If you have Thought Erasure, you're like, I ain't playing it till turn five because I want to get rid of that on my turn. Like it's there is not enough benefit anymore. The cost benefit analysis, you took the cost way up and no benefit for anyone other than the opponent.
I think companions will still see play. There will be some that don't anymore, and that's fine because not all of them saw play anyway.
Right. There were only two were seeing real major play. It was Loras
and Yorian.
And I standard, think that, by the way, I mean,
yeah, and I think that both of them will still see play. It won't be as pervasive because, yes, this does weaken them. But usually when people are playing I don't see too many people casting Yori in turn five anyway.
No, I and when they're playing six.
And they're playing those colors, which means they can usually protect it anyway, even when they cast it, if that's what they're looking to do.
Right, but now you've also taken away my mana. Like, taking away Fires of Invention means I don't have three mana, you know. It changes everything about it. It does.
It does change it, but it doesn't mean they're unplayable. It makes them susceptible to hand disruption, which is, depending on your play style, is a good or a bad thing. It makes it so, yes, they are more expensive, but this is a game about resource management. So if you're able to spread that resource out over the course of a couple of turns, yes, you need a setup turn, and you need to hope that your opponent doesn't have a discard spell.
Right.
But unless it's actual, you know, Agonizing Remorse or Thought Erasure, which right now aren't seeing play,
but they will
now. They may.
Are you
when
kidding
they,
me? Of well, they may. They're going to see it now. Mono they Black's going to become a deck.
But even still, I mean, when's the last time a Esper control deck was anywhere near the top 10?
Yeah, but I've been okay with that because control players are evil, evil people that, you know.
Again, I don't disagree with
think
that.
I've got to be honest with you. I think this does not give it. Again, the deck restriction, there's no benefit. I would rather have four Yorian in my deck.
You're probably going to see more of that, though. You will see more of the main decked.
Yeah.
But still having access to the one when you need it is still good.
But you don't have it when you need it. You have it the turn after you need it.
Unless
and hope
you have
that
the mana
it lasts
to cast
that
it.
Long.
You gotta hope. I mean, Yorian, you only need its enter trigger.
Right.
Loras is the one that needs to stick around.
Right. Well, Loras is the one that needs to stick around. You need to be able to cast it. So now it costs six. You're not going to cast Loras especially. You're not bringing it out before turn six. Nobody's going to put it
say,
in their hand and let you untap.
Umori is definitely never going to see play again.
No.
Umori definitely won't see play again. I would say Obosh probably won't see play anymore. Karuga won't see play.
Right.
Loras only because you can pay three, get it in your hand, pay three later, get it into play, and still be able to utilize it somewhat.
And the cycle. It'll be used in cycle decks.
It'll still see some play. It's not going to be everywhere, but that's the thing. These cards shouldn't be everywhere.
I disagree. They should have been. It was a great mechanic. It did.
Yeah, but you shouldn't have to play a companion to be competitive.
you didn't have to play a companion to be competitive. You just play, you know, Rakdos Sacrifice was still competitive. Didn't have a companion.
Yep, Rakdos Sacrifice was playing Loras.
Well, I'm telling you, I think.
I mean, and you look at the decks. You look at the decks in Vintage, Legacy, and Modern.
Vintage, Pioneer. Legacy, and Modern. This is a standard show. We're keeping it standard. Obviously, this did impact the Eternal format.
This impacts a lot of format. The rule change impacts all of the formats. So we have to mention them.
Right.
And you look at those formats. Companions were everywhere. You needed to do it because there was zero penalty to playing these cards, especially in Vintage. Yeah, exactly. Everyone. So, yes, they will not see as much play, but you were saying they will see zero play, and I'm saying that's completely wrong.
I'm not saying they're going to see zero play. I just don't see the value in them anymore. I don't see the benefit of them anymore.
You just have to work a little harder for it.
And that's just it. In a standard where we still have mono red that can kill you on turn four, with or without Obosh, we still have a team of reclamation that can kill you on turn six, where we still, I mean, it would be one thing if standard was slow. But standard right now is fast. And by adding the three, I mean, originally I thought it was two. The fact that it's three colorless makes them unplayable, in my opinion. You're not going to take, first of all, it's nothing but information for any control player. Unless you're playing aggro where they don't care what the hell you have in your hand. Any other deck, any combo deck, any control deck, anything like that, even some mid-range, the fact that you're paying your three, putting it in your hand, is very vital information. There was something to being able to casting it out of your sideboard for, you know, that to just cast it. Now they're like, oh, they're putting it. It's like having to reveal it's like having to churn three cards up and reveal the card that's going into your hand. Okay, I know you have this in your hand now. I know that you're eventually going to play it. There's not enough benefit for the cost anymore. You'd be far better off playing any number of other creatures other than these companions. Their ETBs are great. Don't get me wrong.
It does add an extra layer of strategy, however, because that play could be a bluff. It could very well be a bluff. I put it into my hand, make you think that I have something, and I really don't.
Right. So, yeah, fine. It can be a bluff, but it's rarely going to be a bluff. And again, anyone is going to cast, is going to do main two, pay three, put it in my hand. You're not going to play that commander until you can pay three and pay the cost. Because the last thing you want is you untapping with a sorcery that can remove it from my hand.
All right. So do you think there will be a top five deck in standard within the next 2 months that has a companion being played as a companion?
Write this down right now. Top five?
Top five.
So
top five in the standard
with
meta.
Team or Clover, Wilderness Wreck, Team or Wreck.
For a booster
red.
Pack. For a boosty. We'll put a boosty on it.
All right. Mono Red, Team or Wreck, Team or Clover, Azorius something, or Control, or what have you, and Mono Black? No.
Okay.
Because I think
so. If there's one deck that's in the top five within the next 2 months, that's playing a companion
for
as its companion.
Longer than 2 weeks. Come on now. Like, because what if somebody spikes a win, it goes top five.
Well, it all depends on metagame share.
Yeah. Yorian, I think, is going to be the only one. And Hyper Sniper's right. Yorian, I think, is the only one because of the control mechanic. Because it's going to let you bounce things in and out. I give it that. It's nice to minus three your Teferi or minus two your Teferi. And then bounce it, get it back out, put it back to three. There's value there. I'll give you that. But that's about it. But I still don't think it's going to be top five. I don't think the cost benefit analysis is enough.
No, for a booster pack. Here's the thing: if the deck's making the top five, it's not because somebody spiked to win. It's because it has a large metagame share. It means a lot of people are playing it.
Right.
So I think there will be one
to MTG.
MTG Goldfish. Top five metagame decks.
Over next 2 months or until Core 21? Because I can't make that bet with Core 21 because you never know.
Well, Core 21 is coming out in a month.
Yeah, so in the next month.
But this gives the meta time to adjust to the new cards as well.
Oh,
so between
come on,
now,
that's crap, and you know it. Arena's going to happen
now,
a week before. I'm giving
you
6 weeks
of the new
meta.
If between now and August 1st.
August 1st? Gee, I would go now and July 1st.
You said 2 months.
I know, but I realized that we're going to be getting in 35 days, we get the new set. There's no way anybody can make that bet. That's a sucker bet.
That's all right. So between now and July 4th, how's that? 4th of July. That there's going to be, because 2 weeks is not really that long of a time. So there has to be a deck that shows up in the top five of the MTG Goldfish meta that's playing a command, playing a companion as its companion.
As its companion.
Right. Which means four in the deck doesn't count. Right. So it has to be one of those cards has to be sitting in the sideboard as a companion as ready a companion. To be cast.
Right.
I think there'll be at least one.
In the top five. Again,
in the top five of the meta.
See, here's the thing. I think Azorius Control will take it. You're probably right. I think Laura's...
Because that's basically the argument that you're making is that there's not going to be a competitive deck out there that's playing Companion.
Yeah, that is the argument I'm making. You know what? I'm going to make that bet for a booster. I'll make that bet for a booster. Yeah, not a collector booster. Standard booster. Don't be trying to bring me this double... double master shit.
Beta booster. So are we talking the booster that you're going to buy me is going to be a Cori or Core 2021?
It'll be whatever you tell me to buy you that's not over $5. Yeah. So yeah, I put it in. I'm there.
All right. You guys heard it here first. Benson will be buying me a booster pack in a month.
No, I will not be buying you a booster pack in a month. I'm sorry. Again, Azorius Control, Mono Red, Teemer Clover, Teemer Wreck, and Mono Black, I think are going to be... Oh, and Winata. Winata's not using... Oh, Winata, too. Oh, this is a sucker bet on your part. I forgot about Winata. You got five powerful decks right there. Just six powerful decks.
I think that do not require a companion.
And again, 21 might make companions viable. And again, I think there's a part of me that's like... They're going to do something in 21 with companions because I think they just would have outright damn banned it. But because 21 might have one or two in it, you know. But I do. I think, Steve's are absolutely right. I don't have to put it on screen. It just shows up. Garuda might see an uptick with Fires Gone. Garuda's still a great deck, and it didn't need to be my companion. I was tending to cast Garuda without casting my companion. I was casting him in my hand before I cast a companion. You know,
But yeah, I think I'll win that.
I don't think I'm pretty confident about that. Steve is absolutely wrong here.
Yeah, Steven is. Aram's got the call, no doubt. Companion going to be great still. I like that guy.
You would. Yeah, I think that today's ruling with companions was wrong. I think if they had just made it six.
Well, I tell you what. It certainly wasn't the rule that I was expecting.
No, I definitely wasn't expecting it either. I think putting a 3-mana tax on it, which is basically what they've done. They put a tax on it.
It's a tax, yeah. You had to put a deposit down.
It would be, you know what? It would be one thing if it took away 3 of the colorless mana and the cost. You know, you have to pay 3 to put it in your hand. They can interact with it in that time. There's our instant, you know, with some sort of instant or something, it'd still be able to block you. But the fact is, they've made a 5-mana companion cost 8. They've made a 3-mana companion cost 6. Whether or not you're spreading it out over 2 turns. And again, it's not worth it for the deck restriction. It's not.
They kind of gave Loris Echo.
Yeah, basically. It's just not worth it with the deck's restrictions. I don't want my deck restricted if I can't be assured that this card is at least going to be cast. You know, and that's the thing. You have made it so that I have to pay 3 mana and I may never cast it. It's not worth it at that point. Why would I restrict my deck? I'd be far better off putting 4 Garudas in a main deck or putting, you know, 3 Yorians in a control deck.
Well, we will see.
Yes, Zach, they will know you have a companion. You still have to flip it over. You still have to say what it is. And that's part of my thing.
Everything else with the companion stays the same except for how you can cast it. Now.
Right. And
you can't just cast it from your sideboard.
It's too much information for not enough benefit. Already, you control assholes.
I feel bad getting information
about what my deck was.
I feel the worst about new and casual players because they're going to have to remember this now that it's not even on the card. That, oh, by the way, this is totally different now. So they have to wait till these things, I mean, I doubt they ever would, but if there was ever a reprint, that would be the first time you'd see the new ruling.
Well, that's just it. I'm kind of wondering if there's going to be 21, I think it'll be in Core 21, and if it is, I wouldn't be surprised.
It'd be too late.
It's a Zendikar.
It'd be too late.
It'd be too late to change them. That's what I mean. It's
yeah.
I don't think
most of these sets are already in the book.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be an interesting, this is interesting. Why haven't we seen what's coming? Like, by this time last year, didn't we know we were going to Zendikar? We're right before Core.
Sometimes they decide to announce things a year and ahead. Sometimes they wait to the last friggin' minute. COVID might have changed all of this.
Yeah, it's true.
So they may not, that might have changed how things are playing out in the future, but I don't know.
Well, I mean, now that we're talking about it, why don't we go ahead and get right into, you know.
Main phase.
Second main phase. All right. So our second main today, we're talking about the Core 21 rumors. So Morrow put up a big post today.
Yeah.
And it's somewhere. I think it's on our Facebook.
I have it.
Oh, good. So, and he gives a bunch of hints about what's coming, and he's doing it in his like little tee-hee voice. I can hear it now.
Very vague. Yeah. Yeah. Because he knows all of this.
I mean, I'm sorry. Because I talked about it in the thing about his geek lisp and how it's funny to me. I always find that funny, like the fact that he has a geek lisp. You know what the geek lisp is. When you have to talk like this, you know, you're like talking so fast that you never get your tongue to really move the way you want it to. So you end up like kind of semi-spitting.
Yeah. Yeah, I know all about that. Yeah. So here's the thing.
It just was. I was kind of reading it in his voice, but go on.
Well, here's the thing. He posted this, and it's a whole list of things that are in the set that he teases, little nuggets, little details that he wants you to sort of try to dig and find details for and try to see if you can guess the card.
I'm just going to wait a week and let you start spoiling me.
Well, you don't have to wait that long.
Oh?
I have, there has been some rumors floating around in on Reddit.
Is this breaking news?
I don't want to call it that.
Oh.
So here's the thing. There was apparently a leak.
There was a leak?
Someone posted on Reddit about 8 days ago. They nailed the banned and restricted list, and they nailed the change to companion. They also, in that information that they posted, listed a bunch of the cards, or some of the cards, that are going to be in Core 2021. And wow, if this is true, there are some whoppers that are coming our way.
So why don't you read them to us, Varimus?
Well, I mean, apparently Birds of Paradise were supposed to be in this core set.
Which you said would never be reprinted.
The thing that he said was that Birds of Paradise, I don't even know who this person is, so obviously take this with major grains of salt. He said Birds of Paradise was supposed to be in Core 21, but it was pulled because it was leaked too early. However, Morrow does mention a reprint. Two cards played in tournaments that have been reprinted over 20 times with at least 5 different pieces of art. Two cards that fit that bill.
Land of War Elves.
Birds of Paradise. Lightning Bolt.
But so does Land of War Elves.
Land of War Elves was just in a core set.
Yeah, and he would do it again because...
It was just in Dominaria, so I don't think they reprinted that quickly.
No, it was in the core set too. It was in Core 19.
Yeah, but that was like as part of a...
Birds would come out. I could see them doing birds. I don't think they're going to do bold as much as I'd love it if they did bold.
We'll see.
Because there's not bold.
If you do a Scryfall search for those cards, there's not a lot of other options that would really make sense besides birds and bold.
Well, again, how much art? We've had two different arts for Land of War already, and he didn't say 10 apiece. He said over 10. Land of War's had 24.
It's been reprinted. Reprinted 20 over 20 times.
Okay.
With at least 5 different pieces of art.
Okay. Yeah, they're right. And bolt, if you're going to bring the bird, you bring the bolt.
Yeah, so bolt the bird, because that is the quintessential phrase in Magic. You say, oh, play Birds of Paradise. Oh, bolt the bird.
Bolt the bird.
And they started talking about some of the other cards, and some of it has to do with some of the things that Morrow teased, but then he started talking about Planeswalkers.
Yeah, I saw that.
And he...
Did they try Oko again?
No. How does Ugin grab you?
Ugin grabs me.
I'm not talking about Ugin the Ineffable from War of the Spark. I'm talking Ugin the Spirit Dragon from Fate Reforged being in Core 2021. the eight mana planeswalker that lightning bolts stuff, exiles a bunch of crap. Apparently, this guy is going to be in core because I guess there's going to be something with the story. This is Teferi. We're talking time travel. Who else does a lot of time travel? Ugin.
He does.
And there's also...
What's going on with my screen?
Not sure. It looks like you like police lights all over you.
Or a laser pointer.
Or a laser pointer. Here's the thing, too. They also, apparently, this guy had access to the new Teferi.
Oh, shit.
Apparently, this planeswalker will cost two colorless and two blue, starting with five loyalty. I guess this was tentative, so I'm not sure when he got his information. And obviously, again, everything that I'm saying here,
wild speculation, spoons of salt.
But this person apparently has been right on things before. And again, he was right about the companion change, and he was right about the ban a week before it happened.
Right.
So he heard this and it happened, and unless he was incredibly lucky, I mean, because honestly, who was going to guess pay three as a sorcery to bring it out of your sideboard to put it in your hand? So, okay. The new Teferi apparently will cost two and two blue with five starting loyalty. It's going to have a static ability.
Push her up.
You can use this Teferi's loyalty abilities anytime you could play an instant. Benson, you hate this already.
Everybody hates it who doesn't play Teferi.
The plus one is going to be apparently the plus one will be draw and discard. So you draw a card, then discard a card. So looting.
Basically.
The minus three is very interesting. Target creature you don't control phases out.
What the now, frack does that mean?
Phasing. So for those of you who haven't been playing since Mirage, back in, what is it, 96?
Yeah.
Phasing is a weird sort of ability where the thing leaves play, it doesn't exist while it's gone, and then it comes back the next turn. It's kind of weird. There's a card for Commander called Teferi's Protection where everything phases out. It's a story-related thing, so I kind of see where that makes sense. His ultimate... Because he has three abilities plus the static, so which means he's definitely a mythic.
Right.
Minus 10. Take two extra turns.
I'm sorry. So basically, is it called Teferi Hero of Bannon Area? Because that will not survive. Effing way that survives.
Well, there is a card that's apparently in the set that's going to cost a one and a black, and it's going to be an instant. Won't hit this Teferi, but it does hit three fairy. Destroy target creature or planeswalker with CMC 3 or less. So it looks like they had an Oko bullet, but then Oko ended up being too strong.
Right. I'm sorry.
It looks like...
This is supposed to be a god darn core set.
Grim Tutor's also supposed to be in this. We'll see. But yeah. This stuff is crazy.
Great. Awesome. Stupendous.
And the previews start on Thursday.
I don't know how I feel about this.
Yeah, hot take for you, Benson, since I really only told you about this earlier this afternoon and didn't really get to give you a lot of details. Yeah, what are your thoughts? What are your thoughts about Ugin coming back, possibly?
Ugin, I'm okay with.
That's a powerful planeswalker.
Powerful planeswalker, but if you're gonna create a freaking Teferi that's like does everything but take your mother out for a nice steak dinner, then you know Dorothy Mantooth is a saint, by the way.
Well, and here's the question.
But I mean, yeah.
Here's the question with the new Teferi. It says you can use his loyalty abilities as an instant. Does that mean you can play it on your turn and your opponent's turn?
I would assume so.
Which, yikes, if that's the case.
Yeah, exactly. This seems...
Which means he comes down to five, goes up to six on your turn, seven on the opponent's turn, then eight, then nine, then ten.
I don't think so. I think you'd have to be, like... That would be insanely broken. It must be, like, one per cycle. It'd have to be. Like, you can cast this as you can do an uptick... Until your next turn. You have until your next turn to do
it. I don't know. Because the way if that wording ends up being how the card is printed, there's no reason that you wouldn't be able to play these abilities during your opponent's turn. They cast their bomb creature and before combat begins, it phases them out.
Yeah, exactly, Steve. Now they're going to tell us Titans are coming back.
You know what? That wouldn't surprise me at this point if half of these are true.
Freaking wouldn't. Ugh.
If half of these are true, it would not surprise me if you saw primetime.
This is moral. I'm sorry. This is This is Rosewater at his finest, where, again, he's creeping the power up. I get it. This will be a push set, and it's going to end up, I mean, there'll probably be just some degenerate piece of crap land that does something like, you know, I don't know, makes all your creatures 7/7 with lifelink, vigilance, and taking Dorothy Mantooth out for dinner. On one hand, I want it. Don't get me wrong. I love seeing good, powerful cards, but not if it's going to be so powerful that we have to deal with bans. Because this is the problem, is that it's one thing to ban a card in Modern. It's one thing to ban a card in even Legacy or Vintage.
Yeah.
It's another thing to ban it in Standard. Standard is already... The shelf life in Standard is far too short.
Yeah, and that's supposed to be the safety valve, is that, okay, this card is terrible, but it's going to rotate out in a year and a half. But the problem has been that when these problem cards have been coming along, they've been so oppressive.
Right.
That, I mean, Oko. I mean, could you honestly... Do you think you'd still be playing Magic in any sort of capacity if you had to deal with Oko for another year and a half?
Unfortunately, yeah, because we do this podcast and I love my audience, but otherwise, no.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, at the end of the day, the power creep has to stop. They really do. It's time to stop the creeping. You've got powerful enough cards, and I understand that you need Eternal Format players to play and to buy cards. Okay, I get it. But there has to be some other way. Because if you're not going to... This is getting ridiculous at this point. We're going to be playing freaking Hearthstone before the end of this.
Yeah. And,
Steve, what do you think? You're watching. You're all like, check.
One of the things that sort of makes this rumor about the new Teferi seem legitimate is one of the hints that Morrow dropped was a card that uses a non-evergreen named ability over 20 years old. Phasing fits. And again, this guy posted this 8 days ago. So I'm thinking this stuff is mostly legit. There's other cards on here that the person describes, and some of them are pretty good. Like there's a card that's white card drawing.
I do like that.
It's a creature, of course.
Well, of course. Let's, you know.
Apparently it is a 2/4 lifelinker for 3 and a white. And whenever two or more creatures attack you or a planeswalker you control, you may draw a card. And whenever an opponent casts a second spell each turn, you may draw a card.
Right.
That seems pretty good.
Yeah. You know, and Steve, he put in something. He says he thinks they will cut back spring next year. Everything else is basically already set. I've been kind of thinking about that, too. Like, we talked last week about Rosewater talking about the whales. And he's like, well, what would you like us to do? And here's the thing. We're all complaining about too much product. All right. And the one product that everybody buys, you know, that's for everyone are these new Standard sets. What if they're like, yeah, we're just going to cut back one of the sets next year because of COVID. So next year there'll only be 3 sets in Standard. But, you know, you said we had too much product.
Well, speaking of whales, did you see
the collector booster for the Masters, which we made jokes about last week? God damn it.
$90 a pack.
God damn it.
And there's 10 lands in the pack. What? I mean, unless they're fetch lands, what the hell?
So this is what pissed me off. I'm like sitting here going, so let me get this straight. You said the product is for whales. So you're treating it like it's a, you know, it's a collector booster. But then you create fucking collector boosters.
Oh, they're VIP edition.
Oh, for frack's sake, go jump, go piss up a rope.
I mean, like having double masters, like if it just costs whatever it costs, I mean, obviously the value you're getting out of a box, unless you pulled absolute garbage, should be good because you're getting 2 box toppers, there's, you know, 2 rares, 2 foils, right. Blah blah blah. I mean, $16 is still too expensive, but I can kind of, sort of be like, I mean, depending on what's in the set, not really, but it's a little more feasible. But then they had the VIP thing come out.
It would be a lottery ticket. It's an instant. It's a scratch off. to us.
Yeah. That's why you have to buy the box.
$16 scratch off.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to buy the box. Now they're talking about the $90 collector boosters, the VIP boosters. $90. And you know there's going to be a goddamn 50 cent rare in there.
Oh my God. And this is why I can't wait to see what the rest of this set looks like, because if they're doing this, my God, how are Fetchlands not in this, first of all? And second of all, are they just going
to
break the reserve list?
Because what are you putting in Black Lotuses in every damn set? Jeez, God. Oh, I'm getting really pissed off at Rosewater. It's like, again, and again, I put this in the patron cast. I mean, spoiler alert to you guys who are on the patrons. I started right home with Will again today because I went back to work. And I talked about Rosewater all the way home. And I came to a point that I didn't even know I was going to come to, which is that I think it's time for him to go. I think he's done. I think put a fork in him, put him somewhere else in the company. He is no longer... Like, he should not be the voice piece. We were making jokes about it last week. Somebody needs to take his damn BlackBerry. Like, he's just, God damn it, $90. See, and you're calling it whales. This is the real products for whales. What's this for, freaking Titans?
My fear is that if they did that and they reassigned Rosewater.
You're right, Zach. They will all sell out.
Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah, they absolutely will. My fear is that if they reassigned Rosewater, Wizards of the Coast is so bad at talking to their customers that we would get nobody else.
Okay.
I'll take Morrow.
That might be better.
I'll still take Morrow being flying off the handle than not having any communication whatsoever, because he at least tries.
He does. And I know his heart's in the right place. I've always liked the guy. I really have. And I said that. I'm like, I've liked him. But the last couple of years, if you're going to go on the guy's job performance, okay, whether or not it's his fault, he's the head of the design team. And the design team in the past, not even 2 years, in the past 15 months, has given us, 18 months, we'll give him 6 months, has given us how many bannings, how many in standard, no less, you know, how many broken, busted, not to break the format of vintage and modern, but busted standard. And again, you have one job, and standard's your moneymaker. Like, and then to do this, and then he goes out and says, this product is for whales, when every other piece of marketing material for Double Masters was saying the whole reason they went back to the Master Well was they wanted to get cards back into circulation. They wanted to get the cards that people need to be competitive in their hands. But then you're also saying you have to be a whale to play. So what you said was you have to be a whale to play modern. And that's horse shit. And it should not be that way.
Interesting point.
Okay.
This goes along with what you're saying.
We're so over time, I don't care. Or I'm having a good time.
Remember, we lost a bunch of time at the beginning. Yes. Tolarian Community College posted another video today asking, is it worth it to buy the new Secret Lair Super Drop? And he basically, and we all knew this already, he exposed the reserve list for the lie that it is. Because in one of these Secret Lair drops is Birds of Paradise. And he's like, all right, well, the 7th edition, or the most recent printing that was in a standard legal set was in one of the Ravnica sets.
Right.
You can get that card for $7. The special edition 7th edition foil is like $500. The beta version is like $2,600. So,
and I fucking had one.
but here's the thing.
Damn it, I had one.
here's the point he was making. Beta Birds of Paradise, $2,600. Ravnica Birds of Paradise, $7. You can reprint the old cards that are worth a ton of money, and they'll still be worth a ton of money because it's the old cards.
Right.
Reserve list is a lie.
It is.
Well, we knew that already, but it's just, it's nice to see more confirmation, especially from someone who ends up being, you know, the most subscribed channel for Magic on YouTube.
He is. Got it. You know what? And he's so approachable. One of these days I do want to reach out to him and be like, listen, you know, I don't know what we could do for you. You could do a shit ton for us, but you know, just be like, if you ever want to talk standard, like we'd love to have you on. And at that point, you're getting a damn green screen and you're getting lit. We're going to look good. I'm kidding.
Listen, I'll take my yearly bath whether I need it or not.
Okay, that's good. And
it's as far as I'll go.
Wow. 64 bans from the beginning of 19 to now across all formats.
Yeah.
Listen, Steve, you can't count modern, legacy, and vintage. I will give the design team, I got grace for them in that regard, okay? It is impossible to test your new cards against the Eternal formats.
20,000 cards.
Again, it's hard to do that. Now, you know what your top decks are. And maybe, you know what, on a Friday afternoon, you're like, you know what? Why don't you pull up your Amulet Titan real quick, and I'll put together a modern deck, and I'll throw this in it, you know, and see what happens with Urza. You know, I get it. I understand why it happens in the other formats. Don't get me wrong. Hogak's another example of, okay, Hogak, you built it for modern. You should have known what Hogak was going to do. And that's what I'm talking about. It's a problem, and it's a design problem at this point. Mm-hmm. Okay, with Oko, we were like, you took a shot, and all right, whatever. Once upon a time, there is no way anybody didn't see that coming. There is no way Field of the Dead, nobody saw that coming. In standard, when you have Golos in your set, that's going to cheat it out.
The hardest thing about Field of the Dead was the fact that it was literally free production, because there was no work you had to do.
And they literally said, well, we did this to make Scapeshift viable because it wasn't seeing play when M19 came out. We thought it was going to be
bad. It worked.
Boy, did it.
It worked. I loved that deck for the 2 weeks it was legal.
I mean, that's just it. It's like, I this is what I mean. I think Rosewater, maybe just make him the spokesperson, get him out of the fucking design room. Just be like, you're done. You are the face of our product. You are going to be the spokesman for Magic. You're going to be the ambassador for Wizards, whatever you want to call it. Put him in front of the camera. Let him sit there and make announcements. Let him be the guy that does that. He loves to do that.
Gavin Verhey's kind of that guy, though, already.
Huh? Yeah, he is.
Gavin Verhey's kind of that guy.
Yeah, well, Gavin, but Gavin's hard to understand if he starts talking.
Gavin's the hype guy.
Yeah, he really is. But I really think that, don't give me that. Rampaging Ferocidon being unbanned was a joke, and we all know it. It should never have been banned. Anyway. I mean, at the end of the day, I think Rosewater's kicked. I think you have to get Rosewater out of the design. I don't care what you do with him.
That's another combat for another day.
Yeah, because that's a real good combat. Maybe that'll be next week. But, you know, we're here in Maine, too. We do have an email from Walter, and I just want to read a bit of it. First of all, he did give us permission to talk about his son. Let me tell you something. When I got this from him last week, it was touching. Well, he sent us two. The first one he sent us was so damn touching and heartwarming that I practically got a little teary eyed when he sent it. I'm not going to read that. He's just like, you know, he mentioned, you know, thank you guys very much. You know what we're doing here. It's providing him laughs and stuff. And because he's going through quite a bit, his son's very sick. Seems to be getting better. And again, he's in my prayers. He still has a line infection, but it's being treated with the infection in his stomach as well as his line. If he keeps growing the infection in his cultures, they will probably pull his line and put a pick in, which wouldn't be good because he has limited spots to put it. And his stomach has been an issue his whole life, too. I mean, this is a baby we're talking. We're not even talking a kid. I think he's like a toddler. Right. So, again, Walter, you're in my thoughts. But he did bring up to us, he said, hope you guys had a good week. I actually got to play that tournament this weekend. Didn't do so great, but it was fun. And do you think they will do something like that more often? The question is this. Did they make money? Probably. Because there's a lot of degenerate.
They made so much freaking money off of that. Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of degenerate pricks out there. I am sure people re-rolled like 5 or 6 times.
Absolutely.
So he's like, I'm sure by now the ban hammer came down and probably will go over this anyway, but how do you feel about the bans, the positive and the negative? Oh, we went over that. Yeah. Basically, the bans, companion, you guys are effing jerks. Moving on.
I don't mind.
You wouldn't, you freaking control freak. So how bad have the protest riots been in your area? Where I am in Salem, Oregon, we've had riots, and in Portland was pretty bad Saturday night in Salem. I'll be honest with you. Both of my hometowns were burning this week. This weekend, Saturday night, there were riots in Albany, but the bigger ones were in Rochester, and that broke my heart. I've got friends who watch the show from Rochester, and I can't imagine it. You know, we're not going to get political on this, but you know, people are okay, but you know, stay safe, everybody. Be safe. This is there are better ways to handle things out there, and you know, do what you got to do. But yeah.
Yeah, it's a powder keg.
Yeah, please, you know, and again, the cop's a dick. All right, everybody thinks that. You know, the cop who murdered, and it was murder, 100%.
Yeah, we'll leave it at that. Because that because I got a lot of stake in this, so I'm not even gonna.
You have stake in this? I want stake. Is it like? Is it medium?
My dad was a cop for 28 years.
Oh, it's not medium rare then. All right, I thought
you meant stake. But no, but here's the thing. I'm also in a minority, so I. Yeah. Anyway, we're not gonna.
I have friends who I've known my whole life. I put it up on Saturday. Are police officers who had to go to work in riot gear this weekend? Mm-hmm. Like, holy shit, you know. So please, just be safe out there. Do what you gotta do. Oh, Steve, I love this. I want to point out 2019 is the second worst batting year since '99, and 2020 is close to getting there. It's THERE, Steve. THERE. Moving on.
Grammar Nazi.
Yeah, I'm kind of a dick. And Steve sent us a message about Wednesday that he's playing with us. Again, anyone who wants to play with us Saturday night, we'd love to have you. Or Wednesday night, not Saturday night. Wednesday night this week, we're going to be having Commander. We've got room for two more at the table. Patrons first, so let us know. We'd love to have you, but we're going to be doing a companion cast this week. But I don't know. I think that's enough, don't you? Should we go to End Step?
Yeah, I think I've pummeled you enough for one.
End Step. I can't wait to open that pack on the air, man. I'm just going to be like,
it's okay. I'll send you pictures, and maybe like if they develop scratch and sniff technology, you can almost smell the new cards before they go into my binder.
Yeah, they're not going into your binder, dude. I'm telling you right now. Listen, all of my listeners, stop playing companions. All right, moving on. End step. So, all right. So we're on our end step, and I probably should pull up my documents because I'm a professional. And even though I have it memorized, I don't memorize. Shut up. So both Aramis and I would like to remind you guys that we do stream Arena and now Paper Magic on the Planeswalkers podcast channel on Twitch. We also stream the podcast there now. So we do record live there every Monday. Look up Planeswalkers podcast. You can also follow me on Twitch at Mindcrime73.
And if you're interested in looking at a channel that has next to no content, you can follow me on Twitch at RMECWRX. Anytime that I do stream by myself, it'll be broadcast on the Planeswalkers channel as well. But for the most part, I've been, you know, hopping on when Benson's on. So we're sort of going as a Planeswalker cast anyway. So, but yeah, RMECWRX if you're interested. But if Twitter is more your speed and you want to follow us that way, you can find our show at PlanestalkerPod on Twitter.
And my personal Twitter is at WR Benson. But again, you don't want to go there. I mean, follow me there. It's great. But I tend to not post very much. I tend to be a lurker and follow the career of Hanson because those Mbop boys are amazing. And of course, you can always follow us on Facebook. Just go to facebook.com/planestalker. We took the last S off for savings and because some jerk took the name. So, but like and follow our page there. That's facebook.com/planestalker.
I knew there was a reason I hated you.
Is it because of my incredible dance moves?
No, the Hanson, thank God.
Oh, that's going to be a bump. Bop, bop, bop,
doo, wop. Ba-dee-ba-dop, bop, doo. Yeah, leaving the stream. Bye. Anyway, finally, thank God. You can send us emails and even ask for advice in our Ask Aramis section where I can offer you tips on anything from deck construction to limited choices. And if you want to send us an email about that or just to let us know how you're doing or how you think the show is doing, our address is podcast@planestalkerspodcast.com.
And I want to remind you guys, I do host another podcast on the television. It deals with the television show DC's Legends of Tomorrow. It's kind of cool. We're actually doing something else. We're actually also going to be twitching because I'm kind of partnered up with the Flash TV Talk guys. It's called Legends TV Talk, by the way. The Flash TV Talk guys, they're in Minecraft building a Star Labs with the full arc reactor and everything in survival mode. So I think I'm streaming with them tomorrow night, like, because I'm on their server and I'm playing in survival mode and I keep screwing up. So it's fun. Yay. So check us out, Legends TV Talk, over there. And I'll probably be streaming tomorrow night on my WR Benson channel when I'm with them. Find us on Facebook at Legends TV Talk. You can also leave us an iTunes review. I'm going to go ahead and draw the name for that next week. Any new review that goes in there becomes part of our contest. We give away a free deck every month on Arena. So please leave us a review there, preferably 5 stars, because it does help the show. If you can't leave us a 5 stars, let us know. But you can easily get there, whether or not you have an iOS, iPhone, or iPad. If you can, download it right to your Windows machine. You can go right through the podcast area on there, find our show, and leave us a review. It really helps the show, so we thank you very much for that. So we want to thank you guys a ton for hanging out with us tonight. We are so thankful to have y'all here. We will be back next Monday night, recording right around the 8 o'clock hour. We're also going to be streaming Wednesday night, Commander. So turn right in here. It'll be on all of our stations, this site, Facebook, Twitch, all over. So come and hang out then. But for Aramis Perez, this is Will Benson saying thank you again for listening. I hope you guys enjoyed the show. And remember to always leave some of your mana untapped because you never know when you'll need it. Take care and have a good one. Bye-bye. I have to control the volume.